I'm Rini, you're listening to the Improv Conspiracy Podcast, and your voice matters.
The Improv Conspiracy Podcast with your host, Bronny.
Hello, my friends. Welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being here. Did anyone notice I went to fortnightly episodes? Probably not. I wouldn't expect you to notice. I don't even sometimes notice when my favorite podcasts take a week off because there's just so many other podcasts you can listen to popping up in your feed. And I don't expect you to notice your 30th ranked podcast taking a week off every second week. That is to suggest that I'm in your top 30, which I assume is a safe guess. I mean, if you're listening to it, then currently I must be in your top 30, because if you're listening to more than 30 podcasts, like concurrently, then I just think you might be listening to too many podcasts. I'm worried about that. So yeah, thanks for putting me in your top 30. Appreciate it. Means a lot. Love being top 30. Hey, just a little quick thank you to Tiana Hogben. She's the quiet hero of this podcast. She does those voiceovers. She does a lot of the promos that you see online. She makes the images. She makes the little quotes. She does the audio snippets. She does a lot of the producing that is not the editing and recording of the episodes. She does a lot of the other stuff. She helps the thing go, and she's a nice teammate, very fun to work with. So if you see her in the street, give her a high five. No, don't give her a high five. When you're allowed out, maybe just still don't high five. When a high five's going to come back? I hope they do. I'm a high fiver, I think. Am I? I don't know. I can't remember the before times. Thank you to Tiana Hogben for all your work. You're a legend. Today on the show is the delightful and the very funny Rini Ekanayake. She is an actor, improviser, and a teacher at the Improv Conspiracy. And she wants you to know that your voice matters. It's a really nice chat about coming up in improv and getting stage time and making your voice count. Here she is, Rini.
I want everyone to know that your voice matters. If you're looking to do improv or any type of comedy and you're shying away from the stage, and perhaps it's because you don't feel like you belong, I'm here to let you know that as a Sri Lankan Australian, that your voice matters, and that if you're from a different background or if you identify as diverse, now more than ever, we really need more performers like you on stage. I can tell you from my personal experience that the first time I got up on stage, it was lonely. It's still pretty lonely because there's not enough people like me on stage, but I have loved it so much. I failed a lot, but the byproduct of that is that it has forced me to grow. And if I can recommend anything to anyone about, you know, considering to do improv, especially if you fall into that group where you don't feel as though it's a space for you because you're not seeing people like you on stage, that is more reason to join us and to give it a go.
So like you have already like talked to people who maybe considering improv, but then there's also a bunch of students who are doing it, but they might be in levels 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, and they may be feeling that loneliness even in their classrooms, because I assume you did. Is that right?
Yeah, there are times that I think I did feel, you know, lonely, and it's not because I wasn't surrounded by people, but because loneliness is a feeling, and it's that relatability that you can miss. You know, it's a natural feeling wanting to be able to connect. It's primitive. And so, you know, if there was someone like me in a group, I think you're right, Bronnie, there's a fair chance that they could also be feeling lonely when you can't form a deeper connection with other players that represent your story or your background.
And did you, because you went to, obviously, you did all the levels at TIC, and you would have been going to at least 4 shows a term throughout that time. Like, what was the experience watching the shows? Obviously, there wasn't a lot of you to see up there, right?
Yeah, that's right, Bronnie. There wasn't a lot of examples of seeing non-Anglo performers on stage. And so I naturally gravitated towards shows where I knew there was someone from a South Asian culture or someone from a different heritage with a story to play, a story to show. And that provided a huge level of courage and inspiration. Sometimes you get courage from internal belief, and sometimes you see it when you go, I can do that. Mm. I can give that a red hot go. And to be able to see, when I got that chance to see key performers do that, and you're right, there wasn't a lot of them, I really focused on connecting that player with also believing that I can do that as well. You know, the difference between me and them is probably experience and motivation and courage. There's something also really unique when you get to see someone from a diverse background on stage. There's this really precious background, rich cultural history that only you can bring to the stage.
Yeah.
And when you get to see performers use that narrative in their performance, it is just so compelling. Mm. Whether it's via Harold performances or whether it's via shows like Ethnic City. Mm-hmm. And even though like it's the content's quite might be different, somehow it's quite relatable mm-hmm. because it's still exploring around, you know, your vulnerabilities and making a joke out of it, whatever it might be. I was in a particular show that I really miss being part of. It's called Outliers. Mm-hmm. And it was performers from all walks of life identified as being part of a minority group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the format was based on storytelling, and from that place of truth to then do improv. And I think it was such a brilliant way for us to be able to have a really different way to bring out improv. It yeah. really stepped away from give us a word, pineapple, mm. everyone's favorite word. But mm. it was, there's something quite charming when you tell a story of something when we've gotten in trouble from our parents for our ethnic background or our sexuality and how we flip that. And you yeah. don't often get to, I don't think we get to see that enough. No. And so when you see shows like that, there is something really charming about that, I still find.
For sure. I spoke about this last on an episode with Giovanni, and it's like, I want to know if you feel the same way, because I think it's shitty. Do you feel like there's a responsibility for you to like represent? Like, do you ever feel like you can just get up on stage and be like, I'm Rini, let's fuck it, who cares, I'm just doing my thing? Or do you always feel the burden of like, I'm the only Sri Lankan here. I've got to do well or something.
Yeah, I think I a bit of both. I feel like just as my nature as a human being, I really am quite sincere to who I am yeah. as Rini, whether it's in a professional setting or on stage. But yeah. I absolutely do feel an obligation to, quote, represent. I can't wait for the day where I'm not talking about this.
For sure.
I cannot wait for the day when, you know, it is so diverse. I remember speaking to someone recently where I decided to do improv teaching mm-hmm. and being quite fatigued with doing multiple things in my life, quite amazing. But I feel like I still want to be able to teach so that the people that are the students that are coming through go, oh cool, I belong here.
Yes. Yeah.
I am so ready to stop teaching, but I've made a personal commitment to myself that until the diversity improves, uh-huh. I will do my best to motivate those performers who did come to my solo show, who found me in the booklet and said, I just wanted to see me on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those kind of comments really stayed with me. I was like, oh, wow, that's... I didn't think I'd be that person. I'm just right. little old Rini having a crack at making lols. yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you go, wow, people are actually out there trying to find themselves on stage. I'm like,
for
that's
sure.
just bullshit. That has mm. to be, that's just what, and then it's like, oh no, that's, I can see more now. I think once you're entrenched in something, you forget the higher role you might play or how you might be represented, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I like just as you, you know, just seeing TIC making awesome steps forward, it's so amazing to see the way the business is making space and being so proactive in that space. It's made me prouder, more prouder than ever to be part of Improv Conspiracy in the past, I don't know, in the past 6 months or so.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, I totally agree with you because also it's good to know that I have you as a teacher until until we're more diverse. Thank you for flying that flag for us. But I'll be aware that you might want to pull out at any stage.
Oh, no, he's holding that against me. Oh, God, thank God this isn't a performance review. Like, oh, God, so Rainey, let's just – Rainey, so that comment, you just – you know, you're here to represent and then you're out of here. We want you to be passionate, girl.
No, yeah. I mean, you are passionate. And I'm thankful that you want to do
it's
that.
It's another consideration when I teach. It's for another sure. thing for that sure. I consider. Yeah.
And I'm also hanging for the day where, like, I message you about doing this podcast and your instinct is not that the topic should be about your voice mattering. Like... Wouldn't that be nice if I could text you sometime in the future and you say like, yeah, I want to talk about saying this phrase a lot in your scenes because that's what I give a shit about because diversity is fixed.
Yeah. And look, no doubt that it was just too tempting not to talk about this.
For
and
sure.
Given another opportunity, I'd love to talk about farts and improv.
Yeah.
But like it was just too juicy not to use this airtime have a little bit of a rant.
I've got some experience working with you. I taught you, obviously, years ago, back when you used to bring the UCB manual to every class.
Oh, my God.
I had to tell you to stop reading it.
I know. How much did that shit get in my head?
Yeah, so much.
So much. Yeah.
But and also I worked with you recently on a show you were making for the Doomed Festival.
Yes.
And like from my experience, I don't want to speak out of school in at all, but like in my experience working with you, you've made me laugh in ways that I would never have expected to laugh. And when we were writing your show, like your instincts are just wildly different to mine. And I think it's such a shame that like for so long we haven't seen that, not only the Improv Conspiracy, but like comedy in general in Melbourne and in bloody so many... white is fucking comedy communities. Like we haven't seen that as such a gift and a pro to the process. Like you would come up with stuff in those writing sessions that like are just because of our lived experience, I would just like would never have thought of them.
Yes, I do remember points when looking back at the audio when we were writing Blue Sheilas and yeah. I was very it was very noticeable what you chuckled at as well. And gotcha. Knowing that some of the references I was making could only come through a story from an Asian woman.
Yes.
And I really appreciated it. It was so great to also know that you enjoyed my ethnic little, you know, jokes that I would make to bring that show to life.
Yeah.
And I think I think the more, you know, performers who are thinking about it or are on the cusp, you know, needing that courage to take that step, which is applicable to anyone because we are doing things that people would rather die than do what we do, I think some people would say.
Yeah.
It's just great to be able to create your own work in the absence of us sometimes having our opportunities. And I think the beauty of improv is that it has given me the courage to extend beyond TIC, using those rich networks, working with you as our dramaturg, you know, and all the Hayley as one of our directors in our previous show, both Fiona and I. Mm-hmm. That is the gift of TIC.
Yeah.
For any performer, once you get those skills, it's really now up to you. How do you want to use that tool bag to extend your voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so much fun working on that with you.
I had a great time.
No.
Cheese. Like, what?
Colby. Cheese. Remember? how we did all those different cheeses, like brie, core, forget all of it, edam, yum.
It was just a series of cheeses twice in the show.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Gotta get that cheese. But yeah, it's like, I don't know what, I don't know how to articulate what I'm thinking right now, but it's like when I, like, when there's someone, when there's diversity in an improv class, for example, you get the gift of all these different instincts that you wouldn't necessarily have if it was just a whole bunch of bronies in a room. Because I could teach a bunch of bronies, that's easy. I know how they think. But it's really fun to like get these different experiences and these different stories and go, the joy is actually just teaching the process of improv, because these people, they already have the funny stuff in them. They have this funny juice that is uniquely them. And like, you, improv class is not about shaping what you think is funny. It's more about finding what's funny about you.
Yeah.
And helping you get that out.
Yeah, totally. I think that's one of the, like, a really, like, an excellent byproduct is that it really doesn't discriminate in the sense of this is the formula, and just watch how your own comedy comes out. Yeah. And how you just, the more you explore your own comedy and allow the months, the weeks, if you push through those periods of difficulty when you're starting, and when you do it for a couple of years and it starts, you know what I mean, the journey of improv, the amount that how your comedy shines, you just surprise yourself, don't you, in the end?
For sure.
About, holy shit, did I just say that? I might have to apologize later. As well, it's, yeah, that's a, probably the great thing. It's a, it can be quite an equal playing field once you've got the tools.
And there's this, there's a classic Keith Johnson quote, which is like, basically, it's essentially just be obvious, because your obvious is at best, it's like unique and genius. And at worst, it's just relatable. So like, if you're just, if you're trying to be clever, you're probably trying to be somebody else. But if you just be obvious and do your obvious instincts and say what comes to your mind, you're probably going to be genius based on who you are and what you've lived, regardless of who you are.
Wow. I like that. Either way, win-win. I see it. That's
yeah,
great.
It is win-win. It's like, it's to encourage people to stop trying to be like, oh, I saw something funny once, I'm just going to do an impersonation of that. Or like, I'm just going to do what I think should go here based on like scenes I've seen before, or, you know, what I think people want from me, rather than just like, this is what this made me think of. And it's obvious to me, but might not be to you.
Yeah, I think we can all go through those moments when you're trying to find your voice, how we tend to lean into to performance we admire. And I think you're absolutely right. When you actually let go of that and you reduce that expectation you have on yourself to creep into someone else's flavor, it is amazing how you can, how you shine. And I think we're all culprits of that, you know, and you don't, sometimes you don't even intend to do that.
Yeah.
But it's just that lack of acceptance of I'm enough. I am totally enough.
Yeah,
accepting that you will have great days as a performer, and accepting even more so that you will fail.
Yeah.
But regardless, like it or not, you're going to get better, because that's what reps does. You just have no choice. You just will improve, unfortunately. Lol.
Funnily enough, I told you before the show that I was going through some old files on my computer. And actually today I found video of my first ever level one show.
Oh, wow.
And my memory of that show was that, like, I did pretty well.
Oh,
boy, it is disgusting. It's like, man, I've taught a million people better than this chump right here.
Oh, my God, that would be some great blackmail. I would love to get that up.
It was so nice to just go like, oh, at some point I think I got much better than this.
That is so funny. I honestly would also think that when I started performing, because you really rely on those little, really quick jokes, those silly jokes, and you think, God, I am good. Get me a sitcom.
Yeah.
And then, like you rudely awaken that, oh, God, no. You know? Oh, that would have been quite interesting.
It was funny. Yeah. I sent some clips of it to Mario because he was in it as well.
Oh, how cute.
So I want to ask you about the difference for you in like performing with your Harold team versus your indie team, Yes Gandhi. Like, tell me, it might feel exactly the same, but it might feel completely different. I don't mind what your answer is. It doesn't need to be mind-blowing, but like, is there a difference in the way that you feel when you take the stage in each of those things?
Yeah, it's really different. There's different stakes as well. I should say that perhaps sometimes I do favor performing on one team, and that's Yes Gandhi, but I'm also aware that the stakes are very different. You know, Harold is the flagship show. There's a good level of expectation to do good work, to set an example. But my heart is with Yes Gandhi. Mm-hmm. There, when you can find people who are trained in improv, who come from your same background, this is just my experience. It's a very narrow perspective. Mm-hmm. I have felt like I have thrived playing with Yes Gandhi because there's a real appreciation from just peer to peer, which I would expect in any group to perform in. Mm-hmm. But there is just that richer connection because we're all Australian South Asians. We're all from Indian and Sri Lankan backgrounds. And if you're listening, if I've missed any cultures, soz. and our comedy is contemporary. It's very much about, you know, whatever the moment is, because it is improv. Yeah. But there have been many times when we have banked on our culture, the way we've been raised, our parents pulling us into line from that conservative nature. I have probably been the most excited when I've gone into performing in an indie group. Yep. And I would encourage any performers who are keen to perform or who haven't quite found their right fit yet, I challenge you to go out there and ask some of the performers out there that you do, if you are inspired by them, to just see what it'll be. You know, just ask them, hey, would you be keen to play? Because I tell you, that has been one of my highlights at improv. It is the training I look forward to the most, and it is that performance with them, those stage lights with them, are pretty precious to me.
And also, I think it like highlights the privilege people like myself have had for so long, that like it was a given for so long that people that shared similar backgrounds to me were in my teams and in my classes. And for you to have to eke out a corner for yourself is like emblematic of so much that we need to change, right?
Yeah, and it's getting like better and better. Like, just to see, you know, performers who are enrolling in classes from a diverse background, who are sincerely enjoying the syllabus, in my experience, and that constant encouragement from TIC. It's a really good formula that our teachers follow, that you can actually see them thriving and then actually going, right, I might also then form my own indie teams. And I think that's a really good tip for anyone that wants to perform. It's not biased towards your background or anything like that. It's just in my experience. You're right. We did have to sift a little bit, but it was just well-timed with Ethnic City that group was able to form. And again, what I was mentioning before, that's given us leverage to then hunt for, because they're not easy to find, other platforms where we can be around other groups that are from an Australian, South Asian background, so that we can give you guys a taste of our world. I'd encourage anyone to go out there and just hunt for it, because it is a little bit hard, but it is happening, and it's great to see. I don't want to like pull names and things like that, but there's always players that I see, performers that are in different levels, and I'm like, oh God, you keep going, mate. Keep going.
Yeah.
We need to get you on Yes Gandhi. We're going to need a waiting list, or we're going to have to start culling. And if Yes Gandhi are listening, maybe they hate me. I don't know. But yeah, look, there's a few egos on there. Yeah, look, I think the love is there, yeah. But they're all going to listen anyway. so that's sorted. Thank you, B, Sanada, Aaron, Akila, Pedro. I've got to fit someone.
You're digging your hole right now.
There's one more person I forgot.
Because someone's outside this hole that you've just started digging.
Yeah. Oh, God. Pavan remembered you too. Yeah. That's everyone.
Nice.
Oh, no, NVIDIA. Thank you.
Now for a practical nugget.
My advice before starting a scene, even before arriving at TIC, is to do some meditation. Get it out of your system, all the worries and what ifs and forward planning, and sit with yourself and focus on your breathing. I promise you it will have an impact on your growth on stage and your anxiety or nerves that you might be experiencing.
I could have used that advice early on, because what I used to do before shows was sing You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon really loud in my car. Which is like such a verbose song.
Oh my God. That's, yeah, wow. Do you meditate now? What do you do?
I don't meditate necessarily, but I'm much more zen before shows.
Yeah.
I used to be like, I have to psych myself up somehow.
Oh, right. Yeah. See, what I do is I meditate, then I will have a Coke Zero just to get it up, but not too much, because the heart rate will go too quickly.
I like that.
That's interesting.
It was amazing the day that I learned that, like, actually being really hyped and psyched before a show is not helping me even in the slightest.
No, that's amazing. Oh, God.
It's like, get my heart rate pumping a million miles a second and then go and try to start a scene slowly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Our suggestion is post office.
Well, John, I got your letter.
That was quick.
Yeah, well.
I sent it yesterday. I'm just amazed by the speed of the postal service. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I opened it.
Yes. I can tell by your demeanor that you've read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how else to tell you I'm moving out.
John, you could have just knocked on my door. We live next door to each other. We share the same house.
I just thought it was nicer to put a stamp on it and send it, like, you know, like old school times, like, to show that you mean something to me. You know, like, letters are meaningful, I figured, you know, so I don't know, was that wrong to give you a token of respect and friendship through the mail? I know it was stupid. It's stupid, isn't it?
It's so stupid. We had breakfast together. You could have talked to me about it. Yeah. We were doing laundry together. Huh, perfect opportunity.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, and the reason? Bit lame, John. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it might be lame to you, but it's significant to me. It's meaningful to me, you know? Like,
really?
You've got too many DVDs.
It is a lame reason to firstly leave and firstly to post about it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What is wrong with having 4,000 DVDs?
They're everywhere, all right? They're at the bloody breakfast table. They're in the laundry. They're everywhere, and I didn't know how else to deal except to just escape it, just leave it, and say sayonara to my friend.
God, I love a good DVD.
I know you don't. You don't have to tell me. I've lived with you.
Well, Notebook. Yeah. What do you say?
What do you mean, what do I say? You want to watch it?
Together?
Is this the way we're going to work through this? Is we're going to watch a movie together?
We could try. You, me, Notebook, Ryan Gosling, water, popcorn.
And do we talk about it ever again, or is this just we watch and that's the end?
Then we could watch another DVD. Jurassic Park, number 2. Popcorn.
Are you going to...
Slug.
Are you going to filibuster... Are you trying to filibuster me with movies? We're just going to watch movies until, like, forever so I can't leave?
Come on, John. Please. Please. Then we can watch Mary Poppins.
You didn't deny
you
that.
Loved Mary Poppins.
I did. I'm not saying I don't like movies. I'm saying I don't like... So, I mean, we've got streaming. We've got all the streaming services.
John, you're frozen.
Am I? that's a good enough place to cut it.
Oh, haven't done improv in so long.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Power.
That's the only goal is fun for me. Hopefully for you.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely.
Unless your
first
goal
improv.
Was, yeah, really. Huh? Since March.
Even before that. Yeah, fuck. March, April, May, June, July, August. Wow. That was fun.
Because
it's the first time. Being spontaneous.
Yeah. First time being spontaneous.
Yeah.
In 6
no,
months.
I'm so routine now, Bronny. No, without improv, there's no, you know, I'm not spontaneous anymore. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
have a good
bud.
Night.
You
bye.
Too. Bye. There you have it, my friends, the delightful Reenie Ekinayaka. Thank you, Reenie. Lovely to have you. Great talking to you. Let's do it again sometime. Hey, everybody who's currently an actively enrolled student at the Improv Conspiracy, we would like you to know that now we know some loose plans from the government, we will have our own loose plans that relate to those plans for getting back to classes in a safe manner when appropriate and allowed. So it'll probably be like December and January. We'll do some intensives and everyone who's currently in classes will organize a plan for restarting or unpausing those classes. I don't know quite what it looks like yet, but I'll have some information for you this coming week or so. This week, probably. I'll have an email out to you this week. No more business from me. Time to watch the basketball. Look after yourselves, friends. I'll see you later.